I spoke with Pastor Dave. He's seated right over there. I spoke with him last night on the phone, and he just wanted me to thank you. Thank you for allowing him this time. He sure poured his life into ours, hadn't he? Thank you for allowing him this time. While he's entering into this new room and getting his feet on solid ground, and I got a feeling when our pastor comes out on the other side, after he searched out that love room for us and gathered up what's in there for us, I got a feeling it's going to be a whole new world. And allowing them a time, a healing time, recovering time. I think anybody can understand that. So thank you. Thank you for allowing them this time. What I was seeing this morning, I have a list of a few things he wants me to say about this conference, and that's not it. Hopefully I brought it. No, I did. There it is. What I was seeing, though, during the worship, he took me right back to the vision of the first service Sunday morning, or the second service, I guess, 10 o'clock service. And I saw, again, that tent of meeting. We're not going to look at the scriptures now. This has been going on all week. The tent of meeting. Moses in the wilderness, you know. Where Moses and Aaron would meet. Who would they meet with? Meet with God. And God says, I would stand there and I would talk with Moses face to face. As a man talks to his friend. Did you know you are the tent of meeting? Do you know he intends to... What did Jesus call us? I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. And he intends to talk with you just that same way, face to face. I'm not saying you're going to hear his words. It's not always a voice. It's not always like that. How many of you knows he communicates? Visions, dreams, revelations, you just know and you don't know how you know. We're coming into that season, but what I saw again, though, before the fire fell, and we're going to say, now, so let me talk about that, and also Solomon's temple. And if y'all have that's where God's presence came to dwell in that day. And has not Dave taught us eloquently about how many tanker trucks it would have taken to haul away the blood from all of the sacrifices that was offered there? See, there was days... Well, let's say it a different way. There was a season of preparing the offerings. There was a season of putting flesh on the altar. And if you really go back and read it, some of it's very detailed. How they were required to wash certain parts and how they were required to even the sequence of certain things. In other words, there was a season of preparation. And for the longest time I didn't get it. That's a type and shadow of us putting our flesh on the altar of God. And only when that season was finished, then it says the fire of God fell and it consumed the flesh that was on the altar. And I remind you again of that old preacher. I wish I remembered his name. It was so many years, half a century ago when I heard it, probably. But I heard him say this, and I never forgot it. Boy, it lodged somewhere. He said, God's fire does not fall on an empty altar. Yet that is exactly what there is a move sweeping through the world right now where they're exactly trying to tell you that's what happens. That you don't have to do anything with the flesh. You don't have to put it on the altar. God's fire will fall anyway. No, it will not. Amen. It will not. He's calling us now to this season of preparation. This is the year of selling out to Him. This is the year of selling out to Him. Well, how do you bring that into the New Testament? Acts chapter 2, verse 4. When they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, there was this tongues that they saw it that first time, and it says it was like tongues of what? Tongues of fire. And for the longest time, I didn't make that connection. See, because really, you are the tent of meeting. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the place where God wants to come now with His presence and dwell with you and speak to you face to face. Very clearly, well, you know exactly what your Lord wants. Amen? Those tongues, they serve that same purpose. And all through this week, if you'll really look, all through this week, the messages we're talking about one way or another, putting our flesh. And let's include with that the bag. Do y'all know what I mean by the bag? The soul, strongholds. Yes, sir. He told me not to forget this, and he just reminded me. I think it was Bronx service, I think, where he talked about Paul writing, putting away, forgetting those things that are behind, pressing towards the mark and that type of thing. Do you realize who wrote that? Forgetting those things that are behind. The Apostle Paul. The one who had Christians killed. And how bad is your past? Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Now forget it. It's over. It's done. That person died when you got born again. Get over yourself. What he's dealing with now is not past stuff. That's under the blood. What we got to do now is forgetting those things that are behind and pressing towards the mark. Pressing toward, that's where we'll do it, right there. Don't ever forget who wrote that. When he says you can forget the past, Paul wrote that. And he's the one that had Christians killed. Those tongues are those tongues of fire, before I get into that. They do exactly that same purpose. See, have you figured out yet this is a progressive walk? Just about the time you think you've got all of your flesh on the altar? I'll just be honest with you. I thought, because, you know, to me, nicotine, that was just the biggest and of all. I mean, I just knew when I got that one out, my bag would be nearly empty. When it finally left me, and it's been left for a long time now, I found out there's still a lot of junk in that bag. Still a lot of flesh that has to go. Well, this is the year of selling out to Him. And those tongues, don't ever forget now. One of the ways that it does that, it starts searching. Those tongues, they bring the light of God. They start shining the light in all those rooms. Rooms where you don't even... Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Can the blind lead the blind? I'm asking you. Can they? I'm going to remind you again. When He first started shining that light in Gary, back in those early days, this was long before we even knew about Dave, but the guy that led me to the Lord, he at least had me praying 2 hours a week in other tongues. He wouldn't let me go with him to the prisons unless I did. And he had to watch me do it. Trust, but verify. Anyway. It's Ronald Reagan, if you don't know it. In those early days, and right away, the Lord started dealing with me about forgiving people. I'm not going to reteach that, but I had this serious thing. I didn't want to forgive them. There was nothing in me that wanted to forgive them. And while I was in that state, I was blind. I was so blind. In my mind, in a court of law, on a stack of Bibles as tall as me, I would have sworn that I was righteous and holy through that whole thing. And those evil, evil, wicked, wicked people did that awful, awful, terrible, bad thing, and they need to suffer. Suffer. Suffer bad. Amen. You know. And I believed that. I absolutely believed that. And it wasn't until I started obeying Him, praying in tongues, listening to Him, one little obedient step at a time, He started getting me to pray for them. And I didn't even want to do that, but He was so gentle with me. But as I began to do that, and He began to exchange His love for them, for my bitterness, His love for my unforgiveness. At the same time, the blinders started coming down. And only then did I begin to see my part. Man, I wasn't so holy in that whole thing as I thought I was. In fact, do I have to tell the rest of it? I will, okay. By the time it was over, I was more praying for me than I was for them. I did way worse than they did. But I was so blind, and I wonder how many other things we're blind to because we don't do what he said. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know? Can the blind lead the blind? I wasn't going to do that now. Okay. I guess we're going to do that now. And I don't even think he's going to let me turn to a lot of these verses. You know them so well anyway. We're talking about Luke 6. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Do not the things which I say. And then he goes into that man who built his house on the sand. He heard the word, but he didn't do it. The storm came, his house fell. The other guy, he built his house on a rock. And the rock was doing his sayings, not just hearing, but hearing and doing his sayings. Go ahead. I do want to quote part of it, so go to Luke 6 and verse 27. So as Dave has taught us eloquently about that, I better bring it with me, I guess. As Dave has taught us eloquently about that, he says, so the key there, if you don't want your, we all want our house to stand, don't we? Well, the key then is to do his sayings. So Dave always says, if we could only find some of his sayings, then we could do them and our house will stand. Maybe even in the same chapter, we could back up a little bit and find his sayings. So he always goes back to verse 27. But I say unto you, perhaps that's one of his sayings. I say unto you, perhaps this is a saying. Okay. What do you say, Lord? I want my house to stand, Lord. Boy, this is going to be full of blessing and prosperity and hallelujah. I can't wait to find out his sayings. What do you want me to do? But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. What? Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee. And of him that takes away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Joe, I'm going to need... No. Yeah, Joe, come on. Let you do this. See, when we get in trouble, when people are treating us like you read right there, they're slapping you, persecuting you, they're taking away your goods, they're treating you ugly, spreading lies about you, doing everything in the world to separate you. Let's say that's me, okay? Let's say that's me, all right? What is our prayer life like? Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, how many prayers I get from people. Get me out of the... Pray that God would get me out of this office situation that I'm in where I work because I'm the only Christian there. And I used to pray... I used to agree with them because I was ignorant and stupid. We don't understand yet with God's heart. We don't understand yet with God's mind. See, if you don't take anything else away from this conference, I hope you take everything away. You got to get this. If you're born again, you're in. You're in. You are accepted in the beloved. You've got it made. You're on your way to heaven. This evil, wicked, no, he knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. I'll let him do it this time. Now see, he comes over, he chokes me. He's choking me. Slapping me on one side and then the other. He's taking away my wallet, walking off with it, and I'm not even supposed to ask for it again. Hey, don't have to put it in your pocket now. No, anyway. And what am I supposed... What do we do? Oh, God! Here, choke me some more. What, isn't this our prayer? Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. And we don't understand at all. We're not the one in trouble. This guy, and the reason, in case you weren't here, why the Halloween mask? He's the one with still got the sin nature on the inside. He's the one Christ died for too. God's trying to rescue that guy. And he sent you there hoping you're conformed enough to the image of Christ that maybe through you, you won't become offended. You won't act like the world towards him. Maybe through you, God's love will reach even this guy. And no matter what he does to you, he may walk off with your 50,000. He may walk off with your car. He may just really go with it. God says, as long as you continue to hold up the blood of Jesus to that guy, as long as you continue to be the witness for Christ to that guy, God says, that's really the promise of Luke 6:38. He's saying, I don't care what that fellow does to you. My promise to you, God says, I will speak to the hearts of other men. And they will give back unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I like to say it this way. God's guarantee, you will never be permanently diminished for extending his love to the sinner. Amen? Now, okay, please give it back. Please, I beg you. And take it off now. It gets hot. It gets hot. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. We've got to get that image of who we are. One of the big things in this conference, the enemy keeps trying to get you to identify with the mask. He keeps trying to get you looking at your faults, looking at your strongholds, looking at your failures, thinking and getting you to thinking you're so unworthy God couldn't use you at all. And that's a total and complete lie. You are God's hope in the earth. You are God's child. Get over yourself. Now, you may have baggage. In fact, I'll prophesy, you do have baggage. You got a bag with udge in it. Baggage. Okay. Well, so what? Join the rest of us. Join the rest of us. I hope that image, all of that he did through this week stays with you forever. Don't ever forget it, though. You are already in. You're already on your way to heaven. We are to shine as lights in a dark world. We're supposed to be an oasis of love in a sea of hate. We're supposed to be a fountain of God's wisdom, a fountain of God's power, a fountain where they can come and drink from the rivers of heaven and find life in Jesus' name. Boy, I'd like to preach right now. No, I got to obey him. We want his message, not mine. I got a lot of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me understand. Now, take some notes, okay? There's a few things. He told me to instruct you. It's not me instructing. He told me to say a few things that will instruct us. Is that better? There was some of the strongest teaching I've ever heard at a conference was taught this week. And some of it, I'll be honest with you, stretch me a little bit. Don't you know that's a good thing? Some of it, I've got to go dig a little bit myself and find out, I'm not sure I even understand that. Do you know, for me, that is one of the most encouraging things that can happen? Because I already know I don't know it all. Dave says all the time, don't quit praying the mysteries, Gary. If we, there's still things we don't understand, otherwise we'd already be in the revival. So when it stretches me, I'm going, oh, thank God. I got to go check this out, you know. Now, one of the things I want to warn you about that the Lord told me, don't become like the Pharisees. Don't strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I mean, they would argue with you over every jot and tittle. Well, you know, this and that, and argue over the law all day long. But then they'd swallow the whole camel if we don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They'd argue over every jot and tittle of the law. Just argue, but then they'd reject Jesus as being the Son. Listen, there may be some things this week that's kind of, where'd the mask go? Somebody help me. Oh, here it is. Sorry. Do you know there's a lot of churches where if I brought that out to show it just like that, they would not hear another thing I said the whole service. They'd strain at the gnat, and they'd miss the whole revelation. Halloween mask. You brought that into the house of God? Well, I never. And the whole service, all they're thinking about is, you know, not good things. that would be that's an easy one. Strain at a gnat and then miss the whole revelation, right? Another one, and if you think I'm talking about you, I am. And at least three others, because there's four already that has concerning the King James Bible. There's been like, you know, and so if you think I'm talking about you, yes, you and three others. And probably others that haven't talked with me, you know. Well, that's hard. I mean, now listen, can we agree to disagree? Can we like for right now, can we not strain at that gnat to the, did you get the part about renewing your mind with the Word of God? Did you get the part about renewing, becoming full, like, and then Bronx, what about overflowing with that abundance where your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, it's the mouth speaks. You want to tame your tongue? Don't worry about the tongue. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Did you get that part? Don't miss the camel. Don't strain at a gnat, for crying out loud. There's going to be lots of little things, okay? Gee, we don't want to miss the revelation. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I loved it. How long we've been, you know, Dave sitting right there. How long has he told you? I've been here 22 years. I heard him 22 years ago. You can buy a real, if you don't have a King James, you can buy a real Bible after the service. This is not new. This is not new. Okay. But the point is, don't strain at a gnat. And then miss the revelation. Another one. Now this is me. Nobody said anything, Alan, except me. Alan's message stretched me about the name of Jesus. And I thought he did a really good job, because you talk about a minefield. You talk about going in where angels fear to tread. You start even touching anything about the name of Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you, you better have your armor on, because the prophet rocks are coming. Isn't that right? But I've been chewing on that. I'm telling you, my spirit, he asked me after, he didn't really ask me, he just kind of, you know, because he knew he was stretching. He came over and stood there, and I was going, I know that it's right, but there's a few things I'm going to have to work out. That is such a good thing. That is stretching us, and that's what conference is for, isn't it? Turn to John chapter 3. The reason I ask you to turn to John 3:13, Jesus says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. There's a lot more I'm going to learn about that verse. There's a lot more I'm going to learn about that. But for today, what he wanted me to say was this. Now, this is deep calleth unto deep. We are on earth. Jesus, in his glorified body, is in heaven. There has never been any other man but Jesus that has come from heaven to earth. In this teaching, I would like to call him the visitor with a capital V. The visitor. We've only had one. We only have one Son of God, clothed in mortal flesh like ours and anointed by the Holy Ghost. We only have one to look at. I can look at Dave and see some of Jesus. I can look at Alan. I can look at everybody. I can look at you. But Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We only have one. There's only been one. There's only one who has existed there and come here. Who else is going to teach us how to operate as a son of God on planet Earth? Who else is going to teach you? Who else is qualified? Who else is going to tell you what's possible here using the physics, the laws of physics from there? We only have one. So when Jesus says things like, this is the way that the kingdom works, then this is the way the kingdom works. And we need to quit arguing with him and just agree with him and just start doing what he says. So when, okay, so there, let's just go a couple of things. No, sir. Okay, all right. I'm not even going to turn to him because we'll get bogged down. Mark 11, verses 22, 23, 24. This is how the kingdom works. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That only works for people who believe what they say comes to pass. Now, he's been reemphasizing that again for years truly and having me watch again my words, because whether you realize it or not, I mean, humor is fine. Don't we love Dave's humor? Humor is fine. But when you constantly say things that you know you don't believe, you are programming yourself for unbelief. When I say my back is killing me when I know it's not, there's something on the inside of me that goes, we can't trust what this man says. This guy doesn't believe what he says. I wonder about the angels standing around. Did you know the angels hearken to the voice of his word? You got a Bible there? Even if it's on your phone, hold it up to your ear. It's a word of God, isn't it? Hold it up to your ear. Listen. Do you hear any voice? See, for years I thought it said angels hearken to his word. That's not what it says. They hearken to the voice of his word. That's why you can have grandma's, great-grandma's foot-thick white Bible that's been passed down for three generations on the coffee table. And it's there and it never leaves there and it's in the house and it's full of the word of God. No power ever seen in that house. Why? Nobody ever gives it voice. Nobody ever puts it in their mouth. Nobody ever gets it in their heart in abundance and speaks it with authority. Jesus says this is how the kingdom works. We want to move mountains. God, if I don't take any other image with me from this conference, I'm going to take little Homer Betancourt. God, you talk about courage. Talk about bravery. Stand there. He's kind of asking Pastor Bronk, am I facing the right way? Stand there. You talk about conditions, circumstances. May I never complain again the longest day that I live. And here's this little guy standing there giving glory to God and proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Courage, man. We gave him a standing ovation. I wish he could have seen it. Hopefully they recorded it. Maybe he'll get to see it, you know. God, deliver me from a complaining mouth. Well, somebody sat in my chair. We'd have revival, but somebody sat in my chair. Yeah. That Tim, he walked right by, didn't even acknowledge me. I know Tim. He's one of the most laser-focused human beings I've ever met in my life. He did not see you, honey. Yeah, his eyes looked right at me. He still did not see you. I'm telling you, I know the man. He's laser. I've had him do that to me many times, you know, and I learned that he is on a mission from God now. Okay? You need to get over yourself, see? Get over yourself. All right? Hear little Homer. God, I want to hear that one again. See, I want to hear that one again already. That's you. If you ever saw faith in your life, you saw it right there. And not watering down, not compromising. And that man's going to have it too. That man's going to have it, see? Because he believes what he says come to pass. And he's been doing this. He's been filling his 8 hours a day. He couldn't go to work anymore. So he says, okay, I'm going to give God those same 8 hours. I'm going to go in my closet, fill myself with the word, prayer, and worship. Glory to God. Threw in some fasting too, for good measure. He's going to have it. Either that or else Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm pretty sure he does. We've only had one visitor that knows how this works. See, this conference, can you tell, is different. Not just, there's hardly been any prayer lines. I don't think there's going to be really one today like we used to have around the building. Or like that time where we had 5 prayer lines. Even though we had 5 prayer lines that day, I still saw some people come through my line twice. Yeah. I'm going, 5 isn't enough? How many? Are you going through all of them twice? One of my favorite things is Bronx Younger and, you know, the bodybuilding, weightlifting champion of Mockley, you know. And man, it was a long time. We were praying a long time, you know, and we're all in different stations around. And somebody was helping with the towels or something in the claws, and he says, he's looking at the clock, and he's going, is Gary still praying? Yeah, Gary's still praying. Okay, bring some more. He wasn't going to quit till I quit. This conference, God's treating you more like an adult. He's imparting directly to you rather than, and it's fine. Prayer lines are wonderful. We got a lot of teaching about laying on of hands, but yes, sir. Okay, I wasn't going to say that yet either. I hear, I better, there's nowhere to duck. I hope to God we never have another conference like the ones we've had. I hope you're fighting for a seat because all of the stretchers. I hope you're having a hard time parking out front because of the ambulances and of all the sick and the lame and the blind and the halt. And maybe you came to get in a line, but God sent you here to be part of ministering the line to them. That's the conference I want. That's the conference God wants. Where the homers come and they come blind, but they leave seeing. Where those with sugar diabetes come, but they leave without sugar diabetes. I hope to God we never have a conference like we've had in the past. And don't get me wrong, I love every conference. I've been changed every conference. But we're going into something that's going to harvest this world. It's called revival. A real revival. And he's been purging us, and I can just hear the Spirit saying, this year, put more flesh on the altar. That day he's prophesied that through me. He said, this is the day. It came through my lips. This is the day. Not day. This is the year that we sell out to him. And I try to be transparent and honest. To be honest with you, when those words come through my mouth, my little rational mind thought, well, this is for them. I've been here 22 years. I mean, we've been through purgings, Sue and I. We could purgings and purgings and purgings. 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 Financial purgings. Flesh purgings. Forgiveness purgings. Doctrine purgings. I could go on and on and on. So I'm thinking, surely he's not talking about me. And that very week after that, he showed me 3 idols in my own life. 3 areas where I'm still given too much time. They're not even, none of them are even sin. But for somebody who's sold out, don't have time for that. Don't have time for that. Not where we're going. This is the year we sell out to him. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll do that now. This prophecy came through my lips. And to any of you that's ever prophesied, the thing about prophecy, you don't get to hear it in your head first and judge it before you speak it. This prophecy came through my lips during this conference, and I'm listening. I'm hearing it when you're hearing it. That's the way prophecy is. You don't get to hear it first and then judge whether you're going to say it. And right near the end of it, when I saw what he was saying, there was something in me wanted to back out. I said, what? What are you doing to me on the inside? What are you doing to me? You're going to get me in trouble. Well, this one came October 8th. They put a title on it that says, remain at the feet of my teacher, and I will purge you. So this came. It said, the enemy has come, and he scatters the unlearned, the untaught. He scatters them with the most childish things. My children are so concerned over things that are almost childish in my sight. What I desire is that you remain at the feet of my teacher, I will purge you. I will purge you. Trust me that I know what I am doing. Trust me that even you can change. Pride is thinking your stronghold is stronger than my spirit. Pride is thinking you are the worst of all, which really is saying your sin is more powerful than the blood of my son. Bow and yield to the teacher, for I am taking you far higher than you have walked before. Did you hear that? Not just higher. I am taking you far higher than you have walked before. This is the season of selling out. Flesh things this year are going upon the altar that my fire shall consume quicker than you ever dreamed possible. This is that year. The following year, this is where I started to back off. The following year is the year of power, says the Lord. I hope we never have another conference like this one. I hope we never have another conference like the ones we've had in the past. I hope the conference we have next year is a conference to the world, where ABC, CBS, NBC, and the Fox News Network have got their cameras here watching the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, watch while legs just grow out right in front of the cameras, you know. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Then shortly thereafter, 10 minutes later, this one came through me. It said, something is coming, people. I see it. And I do see, I still see it right now. There is a wave of God coming. I don't know how to describe it, but it is like a tsunami. It's coming. We're going to be right in the middle of this thing. There is a tsunami of God's power, which is the same as saying God's love coming. And it is going to harvest this earth. It is going to harvest in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Then the very last one, I was just praying and an interpretation came. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray in every season. Pray at all times. Don't turn coward and quit. Pray in tongues. Pray without ceasing. I've been reading John G. Lake again, some things by him. I'd read most of them years ago. And one of the reasons I like to read after fellows like, I like to read after fellows that made it. You know, right now they've got this big Ebola thing going on over in Liberia and around there. John G. Lake in his prime was over in South Africa, and there was a plague going on then that was killing them. And no, it was so bad nobody would even volunteer to bury the corpses, because if the saliva got on you or anything, you know, you'd get it and you'd die. But John G. Lake, he gathered up a crew of his people that were he'd trained, and he says, we'll bury him. And they weren't dying. You know, they were accomplishing this. And so the powers that be said, well, how is this happening that you're burying these people and none of you or none of your people are getting sick? He says, I think the way they said it is, that germ is going to get on you and kill you. And I think he said, if that germ gets on me, it's going to die, not me. And they actually run a test. I don't know what kind of microscope they had in those days. They somehow watched and they put some of that saliva where they could see the activity of the whatever that is, virus, whatever it is. It was alive. And as soon as it touched his skin, it would die. They say, how is that happening? His answer was real simple. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, one of the articles that I've read from him that I wish I'd have brought with me, but I didn't really know he was going to do this, but I can summarize it for you. Sue calls me the master of synopsis. Yes, sir. This one article, he talks about being filled with God. He said, the body of Christ has got to come to the place where we are God inside minded. He says we have got to go around with this idea, because it's true, that God has sent us in the name of Jesus Christ as a conquering army, where disease, sin, sickness, nothing can stand before us any more than it could stand before God our Father. We've got to start seeing ourselves. We normally see it like the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Like, and most of us kind of, because of the onslaught of the enemy, we kind of see ourselves hunkered down in some kind of bunker. But hopefully the gates of hell won't prevail against us. That is not at all what Jesus meant. We're supposed to go and plunder the gates of hell. Everywhere that the enemy has... Just, it's Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Everywhere he'd find the gates of hell, where hell was having its way, he would tear down those gates and destroy whatever had been done there. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. In the same way, he says, as my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. All power in heaven and earth, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, you go. In my name, see. They're saying it right. I just got to learn a little more about it. In my name. We got to quit. I think the most effective lie of the devil in this generation is believing our emotions, believing our reasonings, rather than believing the Word of God. I'm starting to get an understanding now why Smith Wigglesworth would not let Lester Summerall come into his house with a newspaper rolled up under his arm. You remember that? I recently rewatched that episode again where Lester himself was telling it. And he says, I knocked on the door. First time he'd ever met Smith personally. He was at his house. And he was really looking forward to it. He'd heard about the miracles that God had done through this man. And so a knock, 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 and Smith opens the door. And he says, I'd lived in England so long, I was starting to look English. You know, I had a bowler hat and raincoat and umbrella hooked over my arm and a newspaper underneath my, you know, looked very English. And Smith, he saw that newspaper. And he says, you can come in, but you can't bring that unbelief with you. It's just a newspaper. Smith says, only truth is allowed in my house. That thing is full of lies. Leave it outside. So, Lester went in. He stuck the paper in the hedges. Just stuck it in the hedges, went on in. And so Lester's in there and he's expecting to be taught by this world famous man of God. So they sat down in one of the rooms there, and all Smith did at first was just open up his Bible and read out loud for 30 minutes. Just read the Bible for 30 minutes. Closed his Bible, and Lester's thinking, okay, now I'm going to be taught. Smith says, now we need a season of prayer. Got a hold of Lester, and both of them kneeled there on the floor. And they prayed for 30 minutes. Then he stood back up, sat down again. Lester thought, now, finally, I'm going to be hearing the oracles of God, the wisdom. Lester picked his Bible back up and he read out loud again for 30 minutes. About that time, the wife called and it was supper time. They ate supper. Lester didn't mention what was discussed. And then after supper, he thought, okay, now it comes. They went back in that same little room, sat down. Smith opened his Bible and read for 30 more minutes. Closed his Bible and said, it's time for me to go to bed. Come again another day. And Lester says, and I left there a changed man. The atmosphere, the presence of God, so filled that place that even though he didn't say one word to me in the way of teaching, his life produce such a presence of God, you cannot be in it and not be changed. That's us. That's the tent of meeting. That's the temple. That's where the revelation of God, where God comes and you talk with him, if you'll allow me, face to face, as a man talks with his friend. And as we just journey, that presence comes with us. We are not alone, people. Christ in us, our hope of glory. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. I don't want to leave anything off of here now. We've only had one visitor from heaven. There's only been one. There's no point. Look, only one has come to teach us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our pattern. He is our prototype. He knows how this works. There's nowhere else to go. We get our instruction from him. Amen? Okay? When he says, you can talk to a mountain, and if you'll develop yourself, if you'll quit saying a bunch of stuff that you don't believe all the time, if you will develop within you this pattern of everything you say comes to pass, when you get to the place where you believe it, it's not God believing it, it's you believe it. Do you believe that what you say will come to pass? When you get to be that kind of a person, you speak to the mountain and it'll go. The next verse, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But there is a qualifier. If you can't just take that verse out by itself without putting the rest of the New Testament with it. That doesn't mean you can ask for a different colored Cadillac for every day of the week. What's that got to do with the kingdom of God? No, it's as you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things are added unto you, right? But as you spend time in fellowship with him, he changes you. His desires become your desires. What he wants becomes what you want. And in particular, not just in general, his plan for your life becomes your plan. Then as you see things that are needful along that path, you can ask what you will. Believe you receive it, you'll have it too. Amen? The tongue is so vitally important. We're not even going to get into James where he says, pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit widows and orphans and keep yourself unspotted from the world. But in the same breath, he says, if you don't learn to bridle your tongue, your religion is vain and useless. Bridle the tongue? What does that mean? You're not allowed to say everything you want to say. Now, humor is wonderful. Thank God for Dave's humor. It helps save our life. But there is a humor that's not okay. And that's where you're saying a bunch of junk that you don't believe it. Especially, I mean, hopefully here we're not still talking about dirty jokes. Come on. You know, but just crude stuff. Anyway, pass there. So he taught us the importance of the tongue speaking God's will. Did you know if anyone knows about that, wouldn't it be Jesus the Word who used God's Word to create everything that is? You talk about somebody who believes what he says will come to pass. Light be, and light was. He understands how this works. The enemy tries to keep us confused by deception concerning our identity in Christ. I hope you don't ever forget that little image. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Don't get confused about who you are. You are not your flesh. Yes, sir. Now, we have some tools available for you. Again, I want to mention again, we've had this available at our website for several years, but it's called the In Him Confessions. I went through every place in the Bible where it talks about in him, by whom, you know, in everything that it says about who you are in Christ. And I took the verses there, and we took it, and we made it into a present tense now confession. If you want to renew your mind about who you really are, it's available for free. You can print it directly from the website, download the PDF, or whatever you want to do. What are we going to have to do, people, to get our mind renewed? The definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and expect different results. I want to do something different than I did last year. I want to do something different. Okay. have got to, yes, that God inside minded. I want to give you a verse that up until just recently was not one of my favorite verses. It just didn't mean much to me. But go to Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 13. Philippians 2:13, you found it yet? Yes, sir. In fact, I'm going to go over there. Now, see, for years, I just got a very little bit of revelation out of this. Because in my Bible, there's not a chapter division, but they've got a little statement there that, like they've started a new thought. And that's really messes you up because it's one continuous thought here. The verse is, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And we just read that like it's, well, that's nice. Let's back up a little bit. Come all the way back to verse 5. This passage has already been brought forward this week. This is the mind we're supposed to have in us. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, we got to stop right there for a minute. I don't know how many years it was that I just, every time I'd read that verse, I would only think about the literal cross on Calvary. And it is talking about that. But it finally dawned on me. See, one of the things he told us, if we want to be his disciple, he says you have to crucify, you have to deny yourself, and crucify yourself every day, daily. Remember that? Crucify yourselves daily. How did he live a sinless life? He had a sinful body. He had a body that was tempted in all points like as ours. How did he lead a sinless life? He had a new nature. So do you. His nature, new nature, was his first nature. But it's the same life that you got on the inside of you. How did he live a sinless life, even without the baptism in the Holy Ghost? He put his flesh on the cross every day. Every day he said no to the flesh. And you can do that by the power of the new nature alone. Dave has been right all these years. You don't have to sin anymore. If you do sin, you're choosing to do it. Or you're in deception. We're undeceptioning you. So I'm found out. This is part of a... When he says obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, I feel like writing right after that daily. Because he did. He put his flesh on the cross every day. Otherwise, he could not have lived a sinless life. This wasn't new to him when he went to the physical cross. He'd crucified that flesh every day. "Wherefore, because he was obedient, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." And notice, "wherefore." See that verse 12? It's continuing this thought. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always" what? Now, in context, what's he talking about? As you has always, as he obeyed, even unto the death of the cross, even as you obey. Obey what? How about putting your flesh on the cross? Boy, I didn't get a single amen out of that. I did not get a single amen. That is what he's talking about here. He's talking about becoming obedient, even to the point of putting that flesh on the cross every day. Here we're back to the original vision, putting your flesh on the altar, because God's fire is about to fall. God's fire is about to fall to a lost world, and he needs people with flesh on the altar that can be consumed. This is talking about that very thing, as you have always obeyed. What? Obeyed what? What did you just get through talking about? Obedient. Whatever God says. Well, part of what God says is put that flesh on the cross. And as we do that, then he trusts us with more. It says he highly exalted him. As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence also, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, look at, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, in the same way he did. He would pray and hear God and obey. He walked out the path that the Father had for him. And what he's saying to us, you need to obey. Even to the point of putting your flesh on the cross. Whatever path, your salvation, whatever path that he's marked out for you. And as you do that with fear and trembling, it is God working on the inside of you. Hold up your right hand. Say, it is God on the inside of me. It is God working in me. It is God accomplishing his will and purpose. It is Christ in me, the Father in him, the works that he did, I do also, because it is God in me, working his will. Hallelujah. We've got to become God inside minded. We've got to become this people that we see ourselves as a devastating force to the enemy's camp. Everywhere that he has conquered God's people, everywhere that we see sickness and disease and poverty and all of the damnable things of hell, our job as a conquering army is to move in, cast out every devil, heal every sickness, preach to every lost soul, and bring a harvest into the kingdom of God before Jesus returns. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Give the Lord.